Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
With Tim Closter's fourth favorite magician, Paul Daniels, sadly passing away, his teammates are there to help him through this tough, tough time.
You know, the guys, they just try to cheer me up every week.
Colney's chef causes mayhem when a dispute breaks out about how Alex Neil's boiled egg was served for breakfast.
It looked really soft to me. One of our analyst lads said to me that it was soft as well.
And Johnny Howson is starting to influence Alex Neil in his post-match interviews. More yellow and green than a grasshopper licking a honey and lemon strepsil. This is the Little Yellow Bird Podcast. Hello and welcome to the 26th ever Little Yellow Bird podcast. My name is John Rogers and with me I have Dan
Brigham.
Hooray, Dan. You can put some F into it, fucking hell.
It's just my Brigham. Surname, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's your intro. So anyway, before we get going, I just want to say thanks to everyone so much for their wonderful best wishes and get well soon cards that I got.
Have you been ill?
I was really ill and... One minute, what am I thinking of? Fuck you, all of you. Because I got messages saying, oh, is he ill? We'll get someone else to do it then. I did a pun. Fuck you and your puns.
Did you do a pun?
I didn't do a pun. I'm talking about them.
A pun for the game that we couldn't do because you had bacterial pneumonia, with the emphasis on bacterial.
I could have died. But I'm alive, so...
Can we just say, though, for Richard, who came up with probably the finest...
No, he was fucking whinging as well.
He came up with the finest top 10 tweet of all time, and we couldn't use it because John was ill with bacterial pneumonia, and it was after the West Brom game, and it was Karma Pulis.
Oh, sorry, I'm just going to beep that out.
Karma Pulis, which was an outstanding effort.
So don't you fucking start as well.
You're going to tell the people what's coming up on our spectacular
this
show?
This week, we've got lots of cool stuff. Dan just coughed. Maybe you've got it now.
The bacterial pneumonia.
What's wrong with this bacterial thing?
I hope it just sounds disgusting, doesn't
it? Was it? Disgusting.
Is it contagious?
It was. We have got lots of cool stuff. We've got Home and Away. We can talk about a couple of weeks ago if you want to talk about the West Brom game. Probably not because it was gone and left our beings like a snotty tissue that just coughed up lots of phlegm because I had pneumonia.
bacterial pneumonia.
And we have also got a very special guest. I'm not going to tell who yet because it'll be quite exciting.
And we're going to phone him live, aren't we?
Oh, you said that. I'm quite scared to do that. All right, we'll do it. And we've also got Dan vs. John because Dan's going to ask me a question. I'm going to get right. Holding your hands
top
out.
Top 10 tweets.
Yep. Oh, is that what you're doing? I think you're just like doing some sort of special hand movement towards my face.
No, top 10 tweets as well.
And that'll probably be it, actually, isn't it? Nothing else too much to talk about.
Use your gubbins.
Rubbish. I'm going to press this button because it makes this noise.
Norwich City Games, a Carrow Road, and somewhere that's not Norwich, home and away.
So, we played at home to Newcastle.
We did.
It went 1-0. Everyone was happy. Then it went 1-1.
Oh.
But then it went 2-1.
Ooh.
Then it went 2-2.
Oh, shit.
And then it went 3-2 to Norwich. Oh. And the place went clappertastic.
It did, didn't it? Clap.
It was good,
happy.
Wasn't it?
It was amazing.
And you got shoved by a Newcastle fan at the end.
I did.
So everyone's
not at
happy.
The, well, after the game, on the way to meet you, and I didn't even couldn't even find you.
Aggressively pushed
by a man.
I hope it was the dick who held on to the... No, the hero who held on to the ball just before half-time when we scored our first goal.
I hope so.
You gave me a shove. It would have been all worth it then.
Yeah, maybe that's what he was doing. Like, oh, what did I hold that ball for? I'm going to shove this man here.
He's about the size of a football.
Was he?
No, I am.
All right, okay.
I am.
Oh, yes. So you're being him.
Yes, I was.
Okay,
well,
nice.
I can't do the Geordie accent. We know I can do the Welsh and the Irish.
Yeah.
But not. I can't do the Geordie.
No freaking teeth! there's a word you can say that makes you sound like a milk float. Say milk float. Milk float.
Milk float.
Unbelievable. Okay, so let's talk about the football, because that's what everyone's here for.
Mm.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was great. It was best game since Wembley. Do you agree?
What, football-wise?
No, just euphoria-wise.
Yes, definitely, of course.
Euphoric-wise.
I did a jump in the air when the final goal went in.
Well, yeah, well, naturally. Do you normally sit?
I'm explaining that the setting, the view of me jumping in the air.
Okay.
Punching the air like an angry Geordie man.
Yeah. There was stranger hugging going on. Because I was with people I didn't know.
You hugged them?
They hugged me, and then for the second goal, then I tried to do it for the third goal, and they really went into it.
Oh.
Which is odd. Maybe I hugged incorrectly after the second goal.
Like a one-night stand, you're trying to get in the second go.
Well, no, not really, no.
Like a one-hug stand.
No, maybe I got too touchy
what
when
What stand
they,
you were in?
I was in Upper River for the first time
there
in
are,
about
that's the problem.
15 years, probably.
That's the problem.
There was people eating Marks and Spencer salads at half time in the
that's
Upper
not
River.
Funny. You're laughing. Yeah.
Well, that's the most Upper River thing imaginable. Upper River. People eating Marks and Spencer salads.
Nice.
It's like a cricket match up there.
Was it?
Yeah. Until the goals went in, and then they went.
Them salads. Went it,
those salads
flying.
Went flying.
Yeah. You know? Nice. Look out! If someone got a bit of tomato in the lower river.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Bit of tomato on their nose.
Hmm. Yes. Did you enjoy the football then?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Why did we win?
I think we won because we never gave up, Dan. Like, you know how, I mean, some things you've just given up on things. Yeah, I can't be bothered to do that.
Yeah.
Norwich didn't do that.
No, they didn't
do
that.
That's why they won. And we've got a bit of rub of the green, I'd guess.
Of course.
Well, normally, Olsen, when he does that, he puts it near the corner flag.
It was a lovely, lovely hit.
It was the perfect shot that no goalkeeper could have saved.
I don't think any of our strikers has scored as good as goal. That was a proper predatory, well-taken goal, wasn't it?
Kind of Aguero-esque.
You just unnerving, they'd call it on Match of the Day, I think. Unnerving accuracy.
It was in
they?
That little spot that's not quite the corner, but not quite off the post. And that hits the side netting,
yeah.
And it kind of looks like it's going to go in properly.
I thought it was going wide.
Did you?
I must admit.
Yeah. I will say I was right behind it. Luckily, I was, again, right behind it. And it's like, and just the second left foot I was in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a glorious
I'm quite
moment.
One of the youngest ones around my group of people
right.
you sit with. So I was the
And you're
first
quite old as well.
I was quite ill. So I was.
So you probably seemed older.
Yeah. I got up quite quickly for that. I could see it going in.
Yeah. It was,
it was lovely, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, lovely, lovely moment.
I looked, actually, when they scored their penalty, I quickly got my phone. It wasn't much signal, but I got the signal finally in the 92nd minute. And just looking at how important that goal
just for the mood, just the psychological
the
boost.
The points difference was just such a massive, because Newcastle were out of it.
Yeah.
If we'd have won, I thought this was our chance.
Yeah.
That crappy, skanky little penalty that they got to be able to get
how we
equalizer.
Conceded two goals to that absolute shower of shit.
Yeah.
They were probably the second worst team to have come to Carrow Road this season after Villa. Relatively potent in attack, but absolutely dreadful at the back.
We were saying that Townsend was quite a decent.
Yeah, he was fine, and Perez made a difference when he came on in the second half, I think. Wijnaldum was really quiet first half, and then even quieter when he got pushed back to a holding midfield role.
Awful.
And Shelvey was as shit as he always is.
Shelvey, Shitvey, John Shit Shelvey.
Against, I mean, I wrote about this in the things we sort of learned on our website, the Little Out Yellow
now.
Bird Project. Against Swansea and again against Newcastle on Saturday, Alexson was clearly instructed our midfield to let Shelvey have as much time on the ball as he wanted, because he does nothing with it apart from punt it out of play occasionally.
I watched him a few times, and he kept pointing at his head at the left back, saying, "Think about what you're doing." I thought you were a bit fucking rich from you, weren't
you? Yeah, well, maybe cover him, you know, which is part of the holding midfielder's role.
I think we played a ball over the top and the left back ran a back and just nodded out of play.
Yeah.
And then Shelby ran over to him, like, pointed his head. I just pointed myself in the fucking eye.
You did just point, bonk yourself
like,
in the point, head.
Like, think about what you're doing. It's like, he's just clearing his lines. This is what normal footballers do, isn't
probably
it?
Probably the best thing he did all game, Anita, actually. He had a bad game, didn't he? I mean, he's a midfielder and he's... They've had like three left backs either suspended or injured.
So, Dan, are we going to stay up? I asked you the cricket about three overs before the end of the cricket, and I said,
the final. Yeah.
Are we going to win? And you went, I don't know.
It's a stupid question.
Well, no, it's not.
It's like Kevin Keegan being asked in the penalty shootout, are we going to score this penalty?
Well, yeah.
Which is a ridiculous question.
You got to call it.
Because it was so tight. The cricket was. Mm. Anyway.
Not in the end it was.
I think it's gone back to 60% in favour of us staying up. 60,
I think
40.
Two have gone now.
Villa and Newcastle. Yeah. I still think there's... I mean, they've got a game in hand on us. If they win that, they're still...
Against who?
I don't know.
Leicester.
Against Leicester. And Sunderland play Leicester as well, don't they? But if they do win that game in hand, that's only 3 points behind us. So it feels a little bit like against Sunderland, which we were talking about earlier, against Sunderland under Houghton when Tetti scored that screamer and we won. And it felt like, oh, we're up.
Yeah.
And Sunderland are doomed. And it turns out Sunderland went on a remarkable run and stayed up and we went down instead. And it feels like
I do think people are getting, not necessarily carried away, but a little more relaxed than I am currently. I still think there's a big chance that we're still could go down. If we were... I mean,
it's still on the fence, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's not. It's like I say, oh, thank God we're safe. Actually, I read a couple of, on Sunday morning, you want to read all the reports.
Absolutely,
I read them all actually this for the first time for a long time, and most of the journalists said, "Oh, Norwich are safe now."
Yeah, that's we're not.
I thought
there was one line which said that sort of carried them almost to the brink of safety.
Yeah,
we're not at all.
No,
I mean, if we lose our next two games, don't want to be pessimistic. We're right back in it.
Yeah.
Although, if we get results at Palace, the Sunderland game suddenly becomes sort of a must not lose rather than a must win game.
Well,
depending on what Sunderland do.
Yeah,
I guess against Leicester.
I think when I was walking to the ground, I was thinking the next three games are Newcastle, the Palace, and the Sunderland. If we get 5 points from that, I think that would be enough to keep us up, only because it stops them from getting more points.
Five. So, yeah, so we don't lose to anyone.
We won't lose anyone. So win one of them and draw the other two. Now, we've done that one win already. So even if we lost one, if we lost the Palace one...
Yeah, I don't think we can afford to lose Sunderland still.
Yeah, that's the one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if just keep teams below us doing what and beat them once and then match what they ever do. If they lose, we can afford to lose.
But then if we do go to Selhurst and... get 3 points, then we're on 11 points with them, and Palace are right in it with a really shitty run in as well. They've got
I think if we win at Palace, I think we're safe.
Yeah, it's great though, isn't it?
It's really fun. Exciting. Yeah.
It's been a really exciting season. I know that it went 12 games without winning, and that was horrible. But there's a big part of me that I'd rather that than just be safe now, like Watford are or like Bournemouth are.
If you can go 12 games, what 12 games?
I think it was, wasn't
something
it?
Something like that. 10, 11, 12 games without winning. And still have enough points at this point to be out of it. I mean, it's really, the teams and are not picking up points. So I think we've got a better chance than we've had for.
And as good as our play, as good as Nace
since the Fulham game back in whenever that was.
As well as we played, as close was great again. Olsen and Wisdom were good. Defence was, generally pretty good. Housen and O'Neill good again together, and Naismith, despite sort of having a touch of a sort of a drunk Wes Hoolahan rather than a good Wes Hoolahan. He was direct and he was a threat and he found loads of space. And Mbakani was immense. The best, although he should have had a hat-trick, I think, but he was immense. Best thing about it was the celebrations from the players and Tetti coming on the pitch after the second goal, hobbling down the line with his leg in the cast to celebrate with Mbakani. It just, shows that the players are together.
I haven't seen that, like, proper eruption of players on the pitch for a long time.
Yeah, it's just brilliant to see.
There's actually one person who didn't celebrate that much. That was Bamford.
Is that right?
Yeah, I saw a clip of him just standing there kind of clapping, just kind of casually.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Maybe doesn't feel quite as reasonably, maybe doesn't feel quite as part of it as the other players. Or people just react differently.
Yeah, but, of course, yeah.
But no.
Maybe that was him going fucking mental.
Yeah. It was...
Mate, calm down a bit.
It was really good to see. And sort of Redmond, after the second goal, went in, jumping in the dugout and stuff like that. It means a lot to these players. And I think we've got that as an advantage over maybe Sunderland and Newcastle.
I think Alex Neil encourages it as well, because he's the one celebrating more than anyone else. He was on the running on the pitch, screaming into the face of an old man in the city stand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just great. And Mbakani was great, wasn't he, as well? He's fantastic.
Yeah,
his
touch and his link-up play with Naismith was kind of clumsy-ish, but effective.
But effective, yeah. And he ran the channels really well, like Cameron Jerome does, so he's got added that to his game. Ever since second half at West Brom actually. Yeah. I think he's been by far the standout sort of performer up front for us this season in the last two games.
Alex Neil loves him. He really, because he said he was phenomenal, or he's astonishing, or the best, you know, one man up top performance I've seen for a long time. That sort of, he just always mentions how good he was during the post matches.
I mean, Newcastle defence made it a bit easier for him, but he was a constant nuisance and a constant threat, and bullied them and won every ball, won 8 out of 9 headers.
I know, that's
which
crazy,
is extraordinary. He was just brilliant. And if he's going to carry on like that to the end of the season, then the other thing that was great, he created his own goal, which can't remember.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen much for us this season. No. You know, a striker creating their own goal rather than getting on the end of a cross or something like that, which was even more pleasing to see.
It was,
although,
wasn't
as
it?
I say, he should have had a hat trick.
He should have had a hat trick, yeah.
But you can't have a perfect.
I mean, that chance he had against in the first half, just after the goal that was disallowed, scuff it,
goes
welly
in.
It, and upwards, place it, take a touch, and then it just scored.
I mean, some people have said it's a brilliant save, but it is a brilliant save. But also, from 5 yards out, there's no way he should be allowing that keeper to make a brilliant save.
No.
If he puts it 3 inches the other side, 3 inches that side further in, it's in. If he just hits the corners, it's in.
Or anywhere.
A striker will be incredibly disappointed by that.
I saw the goalkeeper, actually, after the game.
Ken Darlow.
Yeah.
No, Carl Darlow.
Yeah.
Not Ken Barlow.
Ken Barlow. He was with his mum and dad and his sister or girlfriend.
All right.
And he looked like he was 14. he had his little goalkeeping gloves in his hand. Like,
oh, did he?
Yeah.
Like he's just won a prize?
Yeah.
And his
mum was like patting him on the back.
I saw Patrick Bamford in The Murderers yesterday, there to watch the Leicester game, I think, and he looked so young as well.
Yeah.
And it just sort of reminds you how young a lot of these players are when you see them in person.
I think that's saying more about us than them.
That's absolutely true.
But
it just
made me think, do you know, all this talk about the goalkeeper as being young, he's the third goalkeeper, he's going to be one who's going to be sending us down. Mm. He's the one who kept them in it.
Yeah, although he should have saved Mbakani's goal, I thought.
He kind of went behind them, didn't he? Yeah. But even so, that's one thing. I mean, he had no chance with the Olsen's goal, and he had no chance with whoever scored the first goal. Mbakani. He didn't.
His kicking was good.
You are coughing quite a bit. I'm a bit worried about it.
I have been ill as well.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about it, though.
For fuck's sake.
It hasn't been bacterial pneumonia. And Mbakani shouldn't
have... I'm not going to... I've had a total brain...
What?
Shit. Oh, what? Closer, of course. Didn't Closer scored the first goal.
Yeah.
How could I forget that?
Extremely
My
great.
Future husband.
Shouldn't have been offside either, Mbakani. From that position, should have stayed onside. And what a ball by Johnny Howson that was as well. Someone on Twitter compared...
That was brilliant from Howson, that little run.
Yeah.
He just got the ball in the middle, and it was like nothing, and suddenly burst past one thing, and then like looked up and burst again.
And then put a brilliant ball
and
in.
Perfect
which
ball.
Which is kind of what you wanted Jarvis to do all game, and I felt sorry for him, because Jarvis kept having the freedom of the right flank and doing very little with it.
So you can see why... Alex Neil always wants to put Howson on the wing
because
he can do things like that.
Yeah, yeah, and he tracks back, which is Jarvis did that a lot. His defensive work was good. But I imagine Nathan Redmond will probably be back in for Palace.
Is he fit enough, do you think?
Well, if he played 25 minutes, didn't he? And
I thought he supposed to be broken his leg.
I know, extraordinary recovery. But yeah, I mean, he played really well before the injury, I thought Redmond did.
So what you're saying is that Nathan Redmond is an X-Man. That like regenerates itself.
Yeah, maybe he is.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe that's why he hasn't improved as a footballer as much as he likes, because of his filming duties.
Yeah, there is
a lot of strain
film coming out this summer. So good luck with that, Nathan. I hope it all goes well.
Okay, we've talked a lot.
Yeah, basically a lot to talk about, because it's an exciting time to be a Norwich fan. It is now time to speak to an ex-Canary.
Woo.
It is nearly time for an ex-canary.
Ex-canary, ex-canary.
I am really looking forward to his stories.
Ex-canary, ex-canary.
Who's it gonna be? Well, I don't know. Let's go.
So today's ex-canary is a very, very, very special person who is very known to the Norwich fans for scoring a last-minute winner. We've only got Ollie Johnson with us. How are you? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, we're great, thank you. So obviously when Norwich won against Newcastle the weekend, we scored a last-minute and Everyone was asking about... last-minute goals. And my first thought was you, because I was at the South End game when you scored that incredible goal and the place erupted. You must remember it being a highlight of your career, because it was... I still remember it now.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. It's probably, if not the highlight, in terms of the magnitude of it, the 25,000 or whatever, and obviously getting the 3 points at the last minute. So, yeah, it's one of those moments I won't forget, put it that way.
Well, I still can't forget it myself. I mean, the ball came over from, was it Anthony McNeigh from a corner? He just kind of flicked it and it went to the top corner. And I the place went absolutely bananas.
Yeah, I think the most shocking thing was that I scored an header. Because it was a collective item as well. Not so many headers either, so...
And you kind of automatically sunk to your knees, if I recall, didn't you? Is that right, in your celebration?
I just sort of started running... down towards the halfway line, and I started to think to myself, I better do something here, because otherwise I'd run straight down the other end and probably run out of the ground. So I thought, I better just do a little knee slide. But I got to the halfway line, I thought, I better just leave it there.
So what was the sight like? As in, like, is it, because I've never been in the middle of a pitch when the whole place is going crazy. Was it, could you see the fans? Could you kind of, what was your view like?
It was pretty surreal, to be fair. I've never really sort of... Obviously, I've scored last-minute goals, but never, in front of a packed-out Carrow Road sort of thing. And it was quite a big thing for me, coming from, not long since being in non-league and, playing on a Sunday morning and stuff. So it was pretty surreal, to be honest, yeah.
It's amazing.
And sort of generally that season must have been a pretty amazing ride for you and the team as well. Sort of any particular highlights other than that last minute goal?
What, my time at Norwich?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Probably my first goal against Colchester away when we won 5-0.
Oh yeah, big game as well, that one.
That was a big moment as well. That was another one of those games where it was packed out, and I think there was a bit of animosity between maybe the two sides, and obviously scoring in front of the Norwich fans, which was nice, my first goal. And
Did you think it was going to cross the line because of the pitch?
Yeah, it was one of those. I thought I kind of wheeled away and I thought, hang on a minute, it's got in on it, and then
that would have been embarrassing.
Kind of just rolled over the line through the mud. So. Yeah.
So you sort of, in the build up to that game, were you sort of aware of the animosity and were the guys sort of, how are you sort of geeing yourself up for that game? Because obviously it meant a lot to the fans that one, didn't it?
Well, obviously I'd not been at the club too long. I think only a couple of weeks. I didn't really know too much about the rivalry or even like the sort of geographical location. I didn't really know they were that close, really, geographically. But
it was a 7-1 thing as well.
Yeah, that was well documented. That was one of those results I remember coming off playing my game and first game that season thinking, like, bloody hell, Norwich have been stuffed 7-1. It was one of those where everyone in the change room were talking about it.
Oh, wow. Imagine how we felt then.
I know. So obviously, little did I know, a few months later I'd be playing for Norwich, which is pretty amazing, really.
So how did the actual signing come about? Did you just get a phone call from the club? Did you? It was quite an interesting signing you were.
Yeah, I was aware of Lambert's interest in like November. They initially wanted to take me on loan, a bit like they did with McNamee and Russell Martin, with a view to signing permanent. But I think my club at the time, Stockport, didn't really want to do that. But then when it came to January, I mean, they had a bit of money troubles, administration and stuff. So I just got a voicemail from my manager then, just saying that a bid has been accepted. And I mean, to be honest, I thought maybe the move maybe been a bit dead in the water.
Yeah.
And maybe moved on to other targets, but luckily for me, you know, Lambert was still interested, so I was over the moon.
Well, I was a big fan of yours, Ollie. I really was. I remember that season. You came on and you're very how can I describe? You're quite tricky with on the ball. You know, you're always looking to kind of do a step over or get behind the last defender and put crosses in and get shots in. So I was always a big fan of yours. I was quite disappointed when you left, actually.
I think like I said, I was not long out of non-league football. I think 15 months. And when I say non-league football, it was like, you know, 50 people and a dog watching, not non-league football. So it was pretty overwhelming signing for Norwich. Obviously, the size of the club. And I think at first, obviously, I was very raw. But the type of player I am, I'd say, probably gets bums off seats a little bit. You know, I like to take men on for a few tricks in and that. And I think at first, you kind of just playing off adrenaline and just pure sort of like rawness, really.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I think that got me the first season, but I think the second season, obviously, other strikers came in, like Simeon Jackson and stuff, and when I found myself down the pecking order, it was kind of like, it was a bit of a reality check of the quality of football I was playing at, and I think sort of rawness and adrenaline can only get you so far, and I think the championship was probably a step too far for me at that time. Obviously, I'd not played many games anyway in the Football League. And I think, realistically, I was probably a League One player at best. But it was all a good experience. I learnt a lot. And it was a privilege to play alongside a lot of the squad that went on to the Premiership. So I'm pretty grateful about that.
All right, mate. Well, thank you very much for being so honest. It's really lovely to hear that. And you gave me one of the best experiences of that season, because that, when that goal went in, honestly, the place went absolutely bad. Yeah. It was all thanks to you.
And you're...
Yeah, it's pretty humbling. Looking back, it's pretty humbling. It was a privilege I even got to pull on the shirt, to be honest. It's something, obviously, I'll...
Oh, good man.
Obviously, I'll be grateful for.
And you're at Guiseley now, aren't you? You enjoying your football these days?
Yeah, I've just come back from a 10-month layoff. And I was out for about 18 months before that. Yeah. So I've had a bit of a nightmare of injuries. I've had 3 operations in the past 3 years. So I'm just, but I'm back fit now, and I'm hoping get this season out of the way, and hopefully have a good pre-season, hit the ground running. Because obviously I'm still 28, so I think
you're still young. Aren't
I can
you?
Get back with the level. It's just a matter of keeping fit and avoiding the injuries. I think I'm over the worst of it now. So.
That's brilliant.
Good man. You're a star. You'll always be a big fan of yours, mate. Thank you very, very much for being a part of this.
No problem.
All right.
Cool. Best of luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, good luck to you, mate. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
So there we go. That was Ollie Johnson. How cool was he? I loved his honesty.
It was good. Yeah, he was honest, wasn't he?
I liked it.
I knew he'd had injury problems. Didn't realise they'd been quite as bad as that, though.
I feel like I tried to be honest with, and he was proper. He gave me the best feeling of that season. Honestly, that goal, because Leeds and Norwich were battling against each other, and Leeds were winning that night, and we were 1-0 down against Southend, and he scored 2 goals, came off the bench, scored 2 goals, and probably changed the season around. And we went on and upwards forever then.
Amazing run after that.
Exactly. Bless him. Good man. Okay, so let's do the top 10 tweets then.
Top 10 tweets. So we asked if Norwich's win over Newcastle was a movie or a film. Same thing. And which Netflix. Movie stroke film would it be?
Stroke film?
We didn't have a lot of entries this time, did we?
A stroke film.
Stroke film.
It's quite a good time, isn't it?
What's was your stroke film as a teenager?
What?
Don't answer that one.
I know what it is, actually. I'm trying to think what it's called.
Don't answer that one.
Desiree Custo, carry on.
So we did...
Oh!
Ooh.
Yes!
Is that my telephone?
Answer it. Go on, live on, quickly.
Hold on. Shall I go and answer?
Yeah. This is awesome. Do you think it's Ollie Johnson's manager?
Hello?
Dan's answered.
Hello?
Twice.
Hello?
Three times.
Oh, hi there. How are you doing?
Oh, he knows the person.
I'm just not used to not getting a cold call on my landline.
He knows the person. Who is it?
Well, I don't... Yeah, it's just landline. The number doesn't come up.
So. He's looking quite embarrassed. I'm not going to lie. He's looking embarrassed. He doesn't want me to talk about it anymore, so I'm going to stop. Bye.
Did you record that?
Nothing. I didn't record anything of it.
Oh, right. You haven't recorded my mobile number, have you?
No.
Have you recorded my mobile number?
No. No.
No?
No.
No.
Top 10.
Have you recorded my mobile number?
No.
Okay, then.
Look me in the eyes. I love your eyes.
Right, well, number...
Top 10.
Number 10. Comes from Jacob Stinky. No, Sinky.
Did you on purpose?
No, I didn't. Jacob Sinky. Newcastle's survival hopes were gone in 60 seconds.
That's not bad.
Yep, yep.
Okay, I mean, I like that.
Accurate, perhaps.
Yeah,
as well.
It kind of it works with thing. I like that. Yep,
I did do it on purpose. Number 9.
I thought you did.
Is Dickie Freezer.
Colcock.
At Cheriton Vegas.
Freezing penis.
The Wizard of Olsen.
Yeah.
Not bad.
What's that from? What's that movie?
No idea.
Okay,
I don't know. Something to do with Paul Daniels. Not Paul Daniels again.
God.
Oh, I like Paul Daniels. I did like him. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good. Every Second Counts was my favourite game show in the 1980s as a teenager. No, I wasn't a teenager. What the fuck am I talking about?
Are you all right?
I'm just worried you've given my number.
Yeah, I promise I haven't.
Number 8, Darren Wiseman at Dazza MJL, The Land Before Tim.
Oh, nice. I like that. That's really good.
Bless him as well. He's put a question mark at the end because he's not sure about his entry. But that's
very good,
Darren.
That's very good.
In fact, I don't know why you're not higher up the list. Maybe because I did this in a hurry, I think. Number 7, at James P. at I Am Hoot. 50 Shades of Nay Smith.
Nice,
after
yeah.
his excellent game, which included fondling Janmet's testicles at
yes,
a corner as
did.
Well, didn't it? So that works on two levels.
We love testicles, don't we, on the podcast?
Yes, we do, yeah. Number 6, Sid Suris at Sid 4668. Closer Encounter of the Dear Mercy Olsen Kind.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can I just say, he bought my album, Beautiful
Sid
Nonsense,
Suris did.
Out now.
Okay. I haven't listened to that yet.
I know you haven't, you prick.
It is on Spotify if you want to get it for free, though.
Don't
isn't it?
Say that. It's not. I've taken
it is.
Off.
Is it, have you?
Yep.
Okay, I won't listen to it then. Number 5, Richard at Twitchit.
Ooh.
Benitez's Bogus Journeyman, as in Bill and Ted's... what is Bill and Ted's?
Bill and Ted's Bogus of the Journey. Bogus Adventure.
Bogus Adventure. Yeah, second one is that, isn't it?
I don't know. It's rubbish. Yeah.
Number 4.
Rubbish.
As I say, we didn't have many. Dickie Freezerhead is in again.
You can't have two in there.
Well, it's your fault, isn't it? For choosing movies instead of songs. To Kill a Magpie Bird.
Nice.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Instead good of Killing a Mockingbird. Number 3 is John fucking Punt at Puntino. Million Dollar Cross from Brady. Million Dollar Baby. Or just Million Dollar Baby Brady. Because he was good.
Rubbish.
Number 2, Christopher Keeley at Kills 8111.
Yeah. What?
No, just two ones. The Swede Smell of Success.
Oh.
That's good. That is good.
Nice.
Martin Olsen, obviously, is a
Swedish
man. Do you
like man. Swede?
I do like roasted Swedes, lovely.
Roasted?
Yeah, you
not
roasted
mashed.
It. Yeah, I prefer mashed Swedes to a mashed yeah. potato.
No, you don't.
I do.
You obviously had a decent mashed potato in
I'm
your
not
life.
A big fan of mashed potato.
You
no.
haven't had a decent mashed potato in your life.
I you? Have.
Oh, but you haven't?
I have.
Come round mine.
Okay. For potatoes and
no.
testicles.
Just come round mine.
Please come round. Number 1.
And by the way,
we should have said we're going to name our podcasts after the winners of our
We are. So you've
entries.
Got a chance of being on a podcast
yes.
word.
So the winner
title.
Of this and the title of this week's podcast
is
from Matt Warman at Matt Warman, The Pursuit of Clappiness.
Which is astonishingly good.
Excellently good, because we had the clappers.
I did retweet that and said, this is what the one you've got to beat. And no one did beat it.
No one beat it.
It was just too good. People saw it. Do you know what? I couldn't do better. Even if there was a film title called Newcastle Lost to a Last Minute Goal by Olsen.
But then that wouldn't have been funny, would it?
Two.
Yeah. The Swedes' smell of success pushed it close, but not close enough.
Closer enough.
Yeah.
See?
Yes.
That's a pun on Tim Closer.
So there you go. Well done, Matt Warman, and well done for everyone who got into the top 10.
I'd pun on Tim Closer.
Ooh.
Lovely, isn't he?
I don't like his hair.
I'd break his nose backwards, I tell you.
His hair is very 1970s cop now, isn't it? Detective hair.
Yeah, it's quite good, though. It'll be back in fashion soon.
Yeah.
So there we go. Right, let's do Dan versus John, because I want to fucking win this thing. I must have won by now.
Well, the season's not over.
Yeah, but it must be, like, mathematically impossible for you to get back.
I don't even know what the score is. What's the score?
15-0 to me.
You probably have one, then.
Who cares?
Who cares?
I care.
So, John.
Hit me with it. No, Norwich, not that.
Norwich have been represented by 37 different nationalities.
You know I hate people who are not from England. Why did you do this?
And obviously I'm not going to...
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you to name all 37 nationalities.
Whatever.
Ever, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you that.
Okay.
Because that would take forever and be incredibly dull.
I don't know.
So I'm going to pick 7 countries.
Yeah.
And I want you to name one player from that
that's
country.
That's really good. I like this. But
and you've got to get 6 out of 7.
I'm not very good. I'm going to fail this, but well
it's
done.
It's because... Yeah.
It's really good.
It's because you're very narrow-minded and have never left Norfolk in your life, isn't
it? Why? You've got everything you need here. You've got the sea.
Yeah. You've got your Swedes.
Swede.
You've got your potatoes. You've got your mash.
Yeah. Got Tim Closer. What more do you need?
Okay. First off, Argentina. Name a player from Argentina. One of the finest footballing nations as world has ever seen.
Oh, my God.
The land of Lionel Messi.
Oh!
Diego Maradona.
No. Bradley Johnson. I do know one, but I can't think of his name. Oh, man. Was he was a left back?
No.
Oh. Who am I thinking of?
I don't know, mate.
He was a right back?
No.
Oh. Is he up front?
Well, he has played right back, actually.
I know.
But he's not a right back.
No, of course he isn't. He's a midfielder.
Do you want me to move on to the next one?
Yes, please.
We'll hold Argentina. Canada.
Oh! Jim Brennan.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could also have had Simeon Jackson.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Paul Pescolido and Les Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Les Wilson was my next
one up,
choice.
Wasn't he? Okay, so...
Argentina. Oh.
Yeah. Do you want to move on?
Yeah.
Australia.
Okay. Clit. The Clit.
Yeah, although, yeah, now known as just Theo.
Exactly, it's weird, isn't it?
Well, you'd drop the last, wouldn't you? David Carney and Adrian Liger as well.
Oh, yeah.
Belgium.
Oh, he was a midfielder.
No.
No, he was.
Well, there is, yeah.
But he came from, he came from...
Antwerp?
No, he came
Brussels?
From Scotland.
Bruges? Is Antwerp in Belgium?
I don't know. Yeah, of course it is.
Of course.
That's where the bombings were.
Mm.
Wasn't it?
No, that was in Brussels.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Nice to bring that up, though.
Light-hearted
podcast.
What's that bloke who was like on YouTube, like the Hammer or something? What's he called?
I don't know. What search did you use for that?
Belgium. Barasadija.
Yes. And also Richie Delatt.
Oh, was he?
As well.
What's that bloke I'm thinking of? He came from Rangers, was it? He was a midfielder. Or Celtic. And everyone was thinking he was like really hard-ass.
Sibierski?
No.
I don't know.
He was like, I can't think of his name. I'll find it in a minute.
Okay, so that's good.
I did well.
Nigeria.
Nigeria. Bassong.
No.
Oh, he's Cameroonian, isn't he? Nigeria.
A club legend-ish. A club non-entity. But probably, and also...
Oh, God, I'm gonna kill myself for it.
Well, I wouldn't.
I am. It hurts when I know it, but I can't think.
So Argentina and Nigeria, the stumbling blocks. I'm going to have to push you. People get
Don't
bored.
Don't push me. I'm not a little man with holding my phone, and you're not a Toonami fan. Oh my God, I do. What? Oh, I can't. Go on.
No?
Move on.
Oh, difficult. Well,
I'll
Italy.
Come back. Italy.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Have we had anyone from Italy?
Yeah, a bit of a cult hero. One of them.
Oh, Lipoli.
Yeah,
yeah.
And also Gaetano Giolanzi. Gelanza.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
And New Zealand.
That prick. He was a forward, and he was like, oh shit! He was during Roda's time. Was he?
Yes, think so. Yeah.
Forward, big, tall twat. He was shit.
Yeah.
That's not enough, isn't it?
No. Do you want to try Argentina?
Yeah.
Give me and a clue. Nigeria.
Give me one clue for one of them.
Argentina, one of them became a cult hero.
Oh, you keep saying that, but that
because of his
shitness,
barely being on the pitchness.
Oh.
And the other one has been in the news recently and played for Newcastle as well. And
oh, oh fuck!
I'm gonna have to kick you up the arse for this one.
Who do you play for?
Who? Yob.
Yob Yob.
Who's Yob Yob?
I can't remember that, his name. Is it
who?
Yobu? Play for
who?
I'm trying to think of his first name. Patrick?
What?
Yobbo.
Yobbo? Well, he's one of the Nigerian
players.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, okay, I thought he was still on Argentina.
No.
So yeah, Yobbo.
What's his first name though?
I can't remember. It's that's embarrassing.
Was it not Patrick? That sounds awful. No. I'm sure it was.
It doesn't matter. It's going on too long.
Joseph.
Joseph. Dixon of Tuhu as well, and Efana Kuku.
Oh, of course.
Of course. So just Argentina and New Zealand to win it.
I know. Argentina. Mm. And who's the other one? New Zealand.
Yeah.
Who's that tall? Who was the New Zealand one? Give me that.
I'm not sure. I don't think it is under Glenn Redder at all. No, wrong.
All right. New Zealand, don't know.
So, yeah, Argentina, and you still win it.
So
I said 6 out of 7.
Played.
Dun, dun, dun,
give me a countdown for 5.
5.
4.
4.
3.
2.
I don't know, we give up.
1-0. Ah, Becchio.
Oh, man.
And Gutierrez as well.
Oh, man.
Gutierrez, rather.
I can't believe I forgot them.
I know.
Becchio, I never forgot them.
How could we have forgotten about Becchio?
There's like a song about him.
You did, didn't you?
Oh, shit.
And the Kiwis were Chris Killen.
Chris Killen, that's who I was talking of. There was, that was it.
And possibly the best named Norwich player ever, Winton Roofer.
When was that?
In 81-82. And he's also managed Papua New Guinea as well.
Nice.
Winton, not
Chris
Winston.
Chris
Winton
Killen was
Roofer.
The big, tall, shit player I was thinking of.
Nearly.
That was really
so
good,
close.
Dan. Well done. I'm cool. Proud of you for once. Normally give me some right shit questions. That was really taxing, but doable, and I should have got the Argentinian one. Well done.
Cool.
I'm going to give myself knob of the day.
Knob of the day.
For calling him Patrick Yobbo.
And forgetting a Koku as well.
Yobbo. Was it Yobbo or Yobbo?
Yobbo.
Yobbo.
I think so, yeah. But forgetting a Koku.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I didn't. I was thinking of Patrick Yobbo. I'm calling Patrick. He looks like a Patrick.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, that was good. I enjoyed that.
Mm. Cool.
Well done.
That's
all right?
Then, isn't it?
What?
Are we done?
Oh,
I know
yeah.
We've got to talk about Palace quickly.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Norwich City Games
what? I can't hear you.
I can hear myself. Wait, shush, just interrupt.
Fucking get on with it.
What's wrong with that chap? He's so rude.
Really aggressive, isn't he?
Exactly. So, Crystal
He's
Palace.
He's right, though. We should get on with it
because Crystal Palace is coming up. You're going. I'm not because I'm going to New York next week.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just saying.
Well, you're going on the
Sunday. My holiday. I'm
going
on the holiday. I'm going 4 days. A fucking holiday. 4 days.
Yeah, so no podcast next week.
No podcast name, unfortunately, because I will be. Unless I do one, walking around. I might do that.
No, I wouldn't.
I might stay in the hotel and do a podcast.
Oh, your girlfriend will love that.
So
she probably would, actually. To be
sure, get away from me.
Yeah. So, Palace, anyway. Big game again, obviously.
Yep.
Palace haven't won this season. They got a draw at West Ham, which is a good result because West Ham.
You just said they have one.
Oh, sorry, once a year.
He's lying to us, people.
Everything I say is lies. Yeah, it's nice you've picked it up.
You told me you liked me the other day.
Yeah, so they got a draw at West Ham.
Yep.
Because West Ham went down to 10 men, and they look pretty good going forward from the highlights. But we can drag them right back in it, can't we?
I remember that the first. It seems really weird, but they were their first game of the season.
It's not that weird.
Well, it is, because it seems such a long time ago.
Yeah, and different year, and we played different season.
Who was it, like the two teams we played quite close together? Everton?
Huh?
No, so, no, it wasn't. It was, well, because we were playing them last. But there was one team we played quite close together.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Stoke, maybe? Something like that, anyway.
Yeah, I know
and
what
it's
you
like,
mean.
It seems Southampton. Such a long time ago. And they were really a decent team when we played them then.
Well, they were fifth at Christmas, weren't they?
They've dropped and like a stone, haven't they?
Sort of planning for Europe, essentially, and playing really good football, attacking. They were like Leicester, hitting teams on the break and playing really quick, fast football. Yeah. But whereas Leicester have adapted because teams sussed them out and gone more defensive, Palace have just gone nothing, really, haven't they?
I mean, Sahar and Balassi were just on fire when they were playing at their pomp. And but now they've seemed to kind of...
Balassi got injured and everyone said, oh, when he's back, they'll be back to their best. But he's been back for a month now and they're still struggling. And
is Kabay still playing for him?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, don't think he's injured.
He's still class, isn't he?
Well,
a draw is going to be a fantastic result.
I think so, yeah.
Fantastic
I'd
result.
Be happy with that.
Anything you get away from home is fantastic. It doesn't matter who it is.
A draw will keep us above whatever happens, I guess, will keep us above.
Yeah, we're 4 points above, so yeah, definitely.
But Sunderland have got a game in hand, but then we play them, so it's still in our hands.
It is.
But there's going to be a lot of pressure on Palace at home. Haven't won all season, haven't won all year, and they're facing a team below them. You know, a must-win game for them, essentially.
If we go 1-0 up after the first, say, 10 minutes, the crowd are going to get on their back. Very similar to kind of when we were struggling in the Houghton days.
Yeah.
I know you said Houghton days. But when, you know, the Clappers incident, for example, we went 1-0 down quite early on, was it? Or was it quite late on? Anyway, it was just the atmosphere was poisonous.
And,
if they have that at Palace, Selhurst Park is like, we're up for it. We're screaming and getting the, you know, making all the noise. It's going to be really tricky for them, I think.
Because they're on such a terrible run. There's got to be fans there who are really sick of it and maybe a bit sick of the manager as well. So if we can turn the screw...
Because football fans
or
soon
score
forget,
goals instead.
They just soon forget like the run. We were like, say, boy, come on, it was 10, 11, 12 games and we didn't win. And we were really, really struggling. And the crowd was starting to turn on Alex Neil. And Alex Neil was, you could see the pressure getting to him a little bit.
You could see the pressure getting to the
three
players.
3 games later,
as well.
We're out of the relegation zone. We've unbeaten in three. We've kept two clean sheets, scored some great goals. And it just the whole atmosphere has completely changed. So
there's nearly always one team every season towards the bottom of the table that puts together a run. And at the moment, it's kind of looking like us.
It does.
At the moment.
And it's exciting, isn't it?
It is. It's great.
It's good fun.
Brilliant. Looking
and
forward to
it. And if we do
Palace.
Go down, I think we've made a good hash of it, a good go of it this season.
Yeah. Not a good hash of it.
Have a good hash of it. What's the phrase?
Good go of it.
Yeah. But I
rather than hashed it up.
Well, maybe a good hash of it is because we couldn't quite did it.
That's true, yeah.
Of accident, but it kind of works in a way. It's been an entertaining season.
I think so.
And I've enjoyed it. If we do go down, we've got lots of youngsters to come back from loans. And if we do get rid of like Redmond, we've got one of the Murphy twins to come in. If Wes wants to stay, he wants to... I mean, we've got...
And we've got Thingy Bob coming... James Morrison coming from Coventry.
Morrison?
James...
Madison.
Madison.
You're coming in.
Not just... yeah. So,
James Morrison's that really annoying singer.
Yeah. So
you're
it's all
right.
Good. Yeah, I'm fine.
You don't seem very happy at the moment.
Yeah, you don't need to bring that up.
We just don't seem very happy. You're right.
Yeah, we're fine.
We've just
been banging on for ages, haven't we, really?
Well, it's been good, though. There's been lots of interesting things to talk
and
about.
And I've got to play five-a-side football soon as well.
When?
It's at 8:30.
We've got ages yet. It's an hour.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah. I've got to psych myself up,
that's
though.
True.
Got to get the head bandage on as well.
Got to strap your willy down.
Yeah, put the Tim Close nose on as well. And hair. Wig.
That'd be nice. Imagine going out like looking, who are you? I'm Tim Close, Gary O'Neill, and...
Wes Houlihan because of my height.
Well. Is he taller than you, Wes Houlihan?
No, he's shorter than me.
He's
I've
not.
I've been next to Wes Houlihan and he's a tiny bit smaller than me.
Yeah, how can you tell?
Because I was next to him.
Yeah, but you can't tell that though, can you?
No, I stopped him.
You can't see the top of your head. You actually have got quite a big forehead, haven't you?
Yes, yes, I suppose I have.
Imagine if that wasn't normal. If you had a normal forehead, you'd be quite normal.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, like normal,
I'd be smaller.
Yeah, you would. That's like you just had a normal head. Yeah.
It's my forehead that has kept me above Wes Houlihan.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. So there we go. That's the end of the podcast. We had a good time today, haven't we?
It's been great. Ollie Johnson was really honest. It was good for him to come on the show. Thanks very much to him.
He was saying that it was an honour to put the shirt on. You don't hear that from footballers nowadays.
Do sometimes.
No, yeah, but they don't mean it. I think he actually meant it.
Tim Close coming here and saying it smells of football. Yeah, I mean, that's the quote of the season already, isn't it?
I want to smell him.
Who's your player of the year so far?
Tim Closer. I'm going to vote for Tim Closer.
Yeah.
Second, Johnny Howson. Third, Robbie Brady.
I'm going to wait to the end of the season.
I'm not. I'm voting for Tim Closer now. I would do anything for Tim Closer.
Would you?
Yeah. Name it.
A difficult maths equation.
I'd have a go at it.
Would you do it, though?
No.
No, probably not. So you wouldn't do anything for him.
Bend it over and do it.
Oh, I feel like we shouldn't finish on that note. But okay. We will.
Will. Talk about Will. Have you got any Will you won't?
No. I've done that for months.
I know you haven't. But people love that.
No, they didn't.
They did?
No one ever commented on it.
Yeah, that's true. No. People turned off by that. No one's listening right now. That's the good thing. We're talking. No one is listening. Yeah. If you're listening right now, tweet me.
Tweet the yellow bird.
Just say bananas. Mm. Hashtag bananas to us if we know you're listening. If you do, then you'll get a special prize.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
No one's listening. No. We're talking to ourselves right now.
Should we go?
No, because we need an ending. So, let me play the music. Let me turn up a bit.
So, what's the score prediction for...
For who?
For Sunderland-Leicester on Sunday.
Sunderland-Leicester?
Yeah, it's a big game in our season.
2-0.
2.
To Sunderland.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Leicester's wheels are going to pass on.
Yeah. Do they have wheels?
Probably. Wagon wheels.
Do you think that's where they get their fitness from? Eating wagon wheels.
I like a wagon. Do you like a wagon wheel with jam?
Yes, I do actually.
Nice.
I don't think I've had one since primary school though.
Haven't you?
No. And the Norwich result to school?
It's going
to
be 1-1. I think we're going to go ahead early, and they're going to like. And they'll get back into the game.
Andy
quite
Johnson can run onto the pitch. Yeah, do a dive.
So we have 13 seconds left. Thank you very much for listening to the Little Yellow Bird podcast. We love you for listening. Thank you.
Go check our website if you haven't. Please.
If you haven't, just do it for once, will you? For God's sake, you give us a score prediction.
1-0 Norwich.
1-0 Norwich?
Mm-hmm.
Knob of the day.
Bye.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.